This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
What an awesome privilege it is to be able to come and speak on my last Sunday here at the Ark. But there's another Ark that's going to be started up in Kansas. So I'm really thrilled. I'm really excited to be here this morning. You know, it's very strange to me that like Conroe, Texas has become the fastest growing city in the United States. Like, isn't that kind of like strange to you? Like, okay, so thinking about that, like it wasn't that long ago that Lindsay and I, we took the plunge. Like we left the mountains of Colorado and we came down, you know, came down to become Texans. We came down to God's country and everything. But what we didn't realize, there's a couple things that we knew. Like we knew, like all things are bigger in Texas. We knew that. We knew that God blesses Texas. We knew that. And we knew that none of my exes lived here. So that was also, that's a good thing. But there's a lot of things that you don't know when you move to Texas. And so I have just a couple of hints that might help. If you're new, it might help you. If you're fairly new, like you should know these things before you move to Texas. The first thing you should know is when you're mowing your lawn barefoot, that's a life-threatening deal because of these things called fire ants, okay? Like in other states, there is no such thing as fire ants. But the first time I was mowing my lawn in Texas, I'm mowing my lawn, I feel a pinch, another pinch, 30 pinches later, I look down, there's a colony crawling up my leg trying to take my whole leg off. So mow at your own risk, okay? The second thing is if you're gonna park a car in Texas, you do not park forwards. No. You only park your car backwards. Like somehow everyone backs their car in. And the bigger truck you have to back it in. Now, I've lived in Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Colorado. That phenomenon has not hit like it has here. I wonder, like, why is everyone trying to like make a quick getaway? And if you think about it, your neighbor has a concealed carry on them right now. So there's all these people in Texas, they got guns, they're ready to get out of here. Like, I don't know, but to fit in, back it in. Okay, that's my tip. Now the last thing is this. Sweating is now a regular part of your day. Like, we were deprived in Colorado. We would go days and weeks without ever sweating, but now, no. We have seen the glory of the Lord. Like we sweat just when you don't do anything. Like girls spend all this time like getting their hair done. They get it all big and everything. Then they take a step outside and it's like, whoosh, no more, no more. So we have really, really loved being a part of this church. We've loved being in Texas. And you know, I told my wife, Lindsay, I said, hey, honestly, like what we love the most is being part of what God is doing here at the Ark. Like we love this church, we love being part of it. And so we thought it was so great, we couldn't just leave it in Texas. Like we had to, you know, take it up to Kansas. So I know what all of you are thinking. That awesome vacation spot that you've been dying to go to, Salina, Kansas. Now you can come to the Ark and see us. So we're very excited about the opportunity and we're gonna have a lot of fun this morning. So if you laugh extra hard, it'll make it easier on me. So just pretend I'm like, you know, a super, super funny person, at least just for like one day. So we're gonna get into God's word this morning. We're gonna get into the book of 1 Chronicles. And there's a story about this guy named Jabez. And we don't know a ton about Jabez, but we know just a couple of things. We know that he's honorable. We know that he is facing some challenges in his life, and we know that God answers his prayer. So as you're here this morning, you might be looking at your own life and you might be thinking, okay, I'm needing God to open up a door in my life. There's something in my health, there's something in my finances, there's something in my relationships that I'm praying and I'm asking God, would you open a door? Would you make a way? God, would you begin to open up a way for me to have breakthrough or get out of this situation or get into a new situation? Jabez was in that exact same place. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're facing pain and you're facing heartache and you're facing a situation that might seem bleak or helpless. Well, Jabez, he honored God and he was able to get victory in that situation too. So I believe this morning we're gonna leave strengthened, we're gonna leave helped, we're gonna leave better than what we came in. So we're gonna look to God's word this morning and believe God for that. So let's go ahead, we'll look at 1 Chronicles 4. We're gonna start in verse 9 and 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. Now, it's interesting that his mom gave him a name that meant he causes pain. Now, a lot of moms in this place could name their kids Jabez too, because, you know, it's childbirth. But there's something else that was going on. We don't know exactly what it was, but there might have been emotional things. There might have been like outside factors. But she said, "This child is going to cause pain." And in Bible times, when you gave a name to someone, it was almost like a declaration of what their life was going to be like. It was like a prophetic voice into like, this is what you're going to accomplish. That's like sad a little bit. I mean, this guy's like, "Mom, like, what's up, man?" Now, the other thing I love about Jabez is that he did not believe that his circumstance defined him. He didn't believe that. He believed that if he cried out to God and he sought God, that God could change his circumstance and even change his destiny. And some of you have been called labels your whole life, or some of you have been called labels recently. And that label is the thing that you think about over and over and over. Or maybe there's a circumstance right now that you're thinking about over and over and over. Well, we can take a cue from Jabez and we can say, "No, no, no, we believe God can change that. We believe God is greater, God is able, God is the one that can change my name, can change my destiny, can change my circumstance. So I'm not gonna look to my earthly father and mother, I'm gonna look to my heavenly father, and he can change it, he can make a way, he can open up a door." And that's what he did, and it said God granted him his request. Now let me take a little poll in the audience. If you're sitting next to your brother or sister, this might get a little sketch, but okay, think about this. Compared to your brothers and sisters, how many of you would say, "I was by far the most honorable sibling"? Would anyone here be brave enough to say, "I was the best"? Okay, okay. If my parents were here and I had my hand up, they'd be like, "You better put your hand down. There is no way." I used to terrorize my brothers and sisters. I still just like, every time I see them, I just say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And they're like, "Do you remember?" "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Well, the Bible says Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. And I think this is interesting because I believe that honor matters to God. And I believe that as you honor God, he begins to open things up in your life. And so I'm thinking to myself, of all the adjectives God could have used, he chose honorable. So for us today, I feel like, okay, being honorable is another way that we begin to take a step towards God. We take a step towards our answer. We take a step towards victory. We take a step out of oppression or out of the label that's been given us. Like, honor is one of those things. And we don't even know anything about his brothers. We don't know what was going on. Like, were all of his brothers Cowboys fans and he was the only Texans fan? Like, we don't know. Like, we don't know like what the family dynamics were, but I think we can look at Jabez and we can learn a couple of things from him. The first thing we can learn is, when you give grace when other people don't give grace, like, it's gonna come back good on you. Like, you can sow good seeds and you can give grace and be honorable and give someone love when they don't deserve it. And you can take the high road when maybe you don't need to take the high road. Like, someone cut you off in traffic. Maybe that happened this morning. It could have been me. I'd like to apologize to a couple people on my way to church today. You can just say, "God bless them." Okay, you can take the high road. So that's one thing we can do. We can be honorable. And I think it's gonna help us. The other thing we can do is that we can pray the exact same way that he prayed. And Jabez prayed this. He said, "Oh God, that you would bless me." So we can say, "God, would you bless me? Would you put your blessing upon me? Would you bless my family? Would you bless my finances? God, would you bless my home and everything that you've given me? God, would you bless me? Would you enlarge my territory? Would you enlarge my scope of ministry? Would you enlarge my vision? Would you enlarge my family? God, would you enlarge the love I have in my heart for my wife and my kids? God, would you enlarge my borders? Lord, would you put your hand upon me? God, would your hand be on my head? Would you guide me and direct me? Would you speak to me? Would you lead me? Would you be the one that you're dictating whether I go left or right? Would you be the main factor in my decision-making process? And oh God, would you help me not to cause pain? Would you help me not to offend people, not to hurt people? Would you help me not to do anything to disgrace your name or who you are, God? I wanna be a person that lifts people up, that helps people, that blesses people. Help me be someone like you. and it said God granted his prayer. So we can take a couple little cues from Jabez and we can do the exact same thing. Now, when I think of honor, I think of like what maybe like a lot of mamas think about is like, you better honor your mother. Like you better honor your father. You better honor your mother. Now, I want to take a look at this thing honor just is like, I keep thinking about it. I can't get away from like, what is it about honor? And so if we go all the way back to the Old Testament, now we're looking at like the Ten Commandments, okay? And this is a big enough deal that God says, hey, I want you to understand this. This is one of my top 10 commandments. So in Exodus verse 12, here's what God says about honor. It says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So honor has some benefits. The first benefit is that we are gonna live a long life, that we will have long days. Like, I want to live a long life. I want to live a long and prosperous life. So honor helps us do that. Now, I remember preaching in youth ministry on this verse several times, and inevitably, one kid would come up to me at the end of the message. He'd be like, John, you don't know my mom and dad, bro. It's like, they don't act the way they do when they're at church, man. Like at my house, it's like chaotic, it's crazy. Now understand, none of your kids told that to me. It was like those third service people, okay? I mean, those are the ones, those are the ones that were coming to me. But kids would come to me and say this. And I would say, it does not matter. When God asks you to do something, you don't have a choice whether you want to obey or you don't want to obey. You see, one of the ways that we honor God is that we actually do what he says. A lot of us know the things that God wants us to do. A lot of us have heard the things that God wants us to do, but we don't necessarily do it. So I would say, hey, bro, I hear what you're saying. Let me give you a little understanding. Respect and honor are two different things. Respect is what you have to earn. Honor is something that God asks us to give and asks us to do. And you might be saying, that sounds good, but I don't believe that. Okay, let's look at the Bible. This is Romans. It kind of defines the difference between the two of them. So it says, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So the Bible makes a differentiation between respect and honor. And honor is something that God asks us to do no matter how we feel, no matter what we believe. A couple years ago, there was a pastor that got asked to go to the White House and speak at this leadership conference. And he was gonna speak on a Thursday, and then on a Friday, George W. Bush and his wife, Laura, they were gonna speak on the Friday. So he had gotten done speaking on Thursday, and then he was waiting Friday for the president and the first lady to come through. So he's just sitting there hanging out, and this guy next to him starts talking about his political views. And he starts saying, I can't stand former President Bush. And the pastor's like, really? And he's like, oh yeah, his policies, whack. His beliefs, whack. He's like the worst public speaker we've ever had as a president. And the pastor's like, that actually might be true. No, he didn't say that. But he just keeps going on, like making fun, dissing, all this stuff. So all of a sudden, these doors fly open and this soldier comes through with like an American flag. Hail to the Chief begins to play. George W. Bush is holding Laura's hand. They're walking through and everyone in the room like stands to their feet. They begin to clap. He looks over at this guy that was just hating on President Bush. He's crying, he's smiling. And it's like in that moment, like there was no Republican, there was no Democrat, there was no like pro-Bush, anti-Bush, there was no critics. Like it was just in that moment, everyone was like rising just to honor the president of the United States. And this pastor said like that moment was electric. And here's what I would say about honor. We can choose to give honor even when we don't think honor is deserved. So it's not just the most powerful people in the nation that deserve honor. Like God asks us to honor all those that are in authority. So you might not correlate giving honor to authority as a way to get an answer for what you're going through, but I'm saying today that is how it works. It correlates. You're sowing a seed and showing honor and respect, and you're obeying God, and then God is gonna answer what you're going through. So if you have a coach, you might be a student. If you have a coach, you honor your coach. You have a mom, a dad, a stepdad, a stepmom, you honor them. You might have a boss, and you know you are way smarter than that boss. You know you could do it way better than that boss. God asks us to honor those that are in authority because it's gonna come back and bless us. It's gonna come back and help us. And I would just say just this. We gotta learn how to be a follower before we can be a leader. Like we have to learn how to be under before we can be over. And if we learn to honor and respect and be someone that gives grace and speaks well and speaks truth and decides to like have someone's back, man, God can bless that and he can do amazing things with that. And so for the next couple of minutes, what I wanna do is I wanna honor my father and mother. I was very fortunate to have a mom and a dad that made a huge impact on my life. And a lot of what I try to do as a dad is emulate what my mom and my dad taught me. I know not every single person has had a great childhood and you haven't had this kind of thing, but I believe there's principles that I can just share with you this morning that it'll apply to you and help you no matter what situation you're coming out of. So the first one I'm gonna start with is my dad. So this is a picture of my dad and me when I was a little kid. I don't know if you can tell that we're related or not, but we are. We actually, we got third place in a Kansas father-son look-alike contest when I was a teenager. That's my proudest moment right there. Just brought home the bronze, Dad. I brought it home. Now, my dad, he was raised on a farm. So my dad was raised on the farm in the middle of Kansas, and they had cows, and they had horses, and they had chickens and pigs and tons of cats and dogs running around. I mean, like, the farm was this awesome place. Like, I loved to go out to the farm because grandma, like, she grew all her own vegetables. She grew all her own fruits. Like, my grandpa, like, he owned all this land. He was a farmer, and, you know, wheat was the thing that brought in the money. There's wheat. Like, grandpa wasn't into no dope smoking, okay? Like, wheat. I don't know why I said that. Okay, let's keep going. You know, my dad grew up, and he did not have indoor plumbing until he went to college. So they had an outhouse, they had a wash house, and they never owned a dishwasher either. So grandpa believed that, like, the kids are the dishwashers, okay? Some of the parents are like, amen, I got a witness right there. I feel God speaking to me right now. So my dad went ahead and became a veterinarian. So he started his own practice. He went through college, got his doctorate, all that stuff, and he's been in practice for 38 years. And there's a lot of things I've learned from my dad, but the thing that sticks out to me most is stewardship and being a good steward. And it's not a word that we use a lot, but being a steward means that you care and you protect and you manage the thing that someone has given to you. So being a good steward means you are caring for it, you're protecting it, you're honoring the thing that has been given to you. And when we would go on family vacations, I don't know what the amount of money was, but let's just say it's like $200 or whatever. Like, we'd go on a family vacation, when the money's gone, we come home. Like, there was no credit card, there was no going into debt. Like, my dad was like, this is what we've been given. We're going on vacation and gonna have a lot of fun, but when the money's out, we're coming home. And I know his daddy did that same thing with him. And I remember when I was sitting in church as a little kid and they would pass the offering bucket. We used to have these things that were like these paper rectangles and they used to represent money. They were called checks. I know you've never heard of these things. We don't use these anymore. And I give online now too, but we had these checks and my dad would put the check in my hand and I would put it in the offering bucket. And every time we'd go to church, my dad would make me put the money in the offering bucket. And I would ask him, I said, why am I giving this? You know, a kid's like, Dad, that's actual money. What are we doing with this money? He's like, it's not my money, it's God's money. And the lesson I've learned more from my dad than maybe anything is that we are managers, we are not owners. Everything we have in our life comes from God. We are just managing the thing that God has given us. And I love how James puts it in verse 17, chapter 1. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. See, everything good in our life is from God. God is the one that does everything good. So you might be an incredible handyman and you can fix all the stuff around the house. That gift comes from God. You might be a mom that you are an incredible cook and you're very nurturing. That gift is from God. Maybe you're a man and you are able to like produce wealth and you are a great businessman. That gift comes from God. You might be someone that you are almost like an expert at getting kids potty trained. I need to see you after service. I have a 3-year-old son. I need you. But every single gift that we have, it comes from God. So we're stewards. We say, God, my hands are open to you. I know what I have in my hand is yours, so I trust you and I just give it to you. And I'm thankful that my dad taught me that. So honor your father and honor your mother. So this is a picture of my mom. This is me when I was 3 and this is my mother. Now my mother went to be with the Lord last summer. So my mother had 62 awesome years and she is someone that has taught me so many amazing things. But the thing that sticks out to me is when I was born, my mom got saved. So my mom was raised Catholic, a very devout Catholic. Like she went to Catholic school, was at mass all the time. But man, when she gave her life to Jesus, she went all in. Like she was on fire for God. I mean, I remember growing up, like my mom would make us memorize Bible verses. We had to go to Sunday school. We had to pray before every meal. And even as a teenager, like I would come home at night from like a game or hanging out with friends and my mom would be sitting there like reading her Bible. And I'm just like, whoa, like what's going on, Mom? And she's like, hey, God's just teaching me. I'm loving God. I'm learning from God. But of all the things she's taught me, prayer would be the thing that I learned from my mom. Like my mom was like this prayer warrior. And a lot of you might not even realize, but you have a mama and a grandmama praying for you or has been praying for you, and you don't realize how much those prayers make a difference. And I'm so thankful that I had a mom that prayed for me. But my mom, I'd be like, Mom, where are you going? She's like, I'm going to a prayer meeting. 2 days later, Mom, where are you going? I'm going to a prayer meeting. I thought you just went to a prayer meeting. People pray more than like once a week. What are you doing? She's like, yeah, I'm going to a prayer meeting. Sometimes I'd be like, Mom, what'd you sign me up for this weekend? She's like, that's a prayer walk. Prayer walk? She's like, yeah, you're gonna walk through a couple of streets and you're gonna pray for all the houses. I'm like, no, I'm not. People are gonna think I'm weird. I'm not doing that. She's like, no, don't worry about it. There'll be another person right beside you. If anyone sees you, they'll think you're just talking to each other. But yeah, you're gonna go pray over all these houses. I've been like, Mom, what's for dinner? She's like, I'm on a 7-day fast. You're gonna have to order a pizza. Do not sign me up for that, Mom. Do not. Like, I am not signing up for that. But my mom, she'd go on these like 7-day fasts, 21-day fasts. Like she went on several 40-day fasts. Like my mom just had a heart that wanted to pray. And what I've learned from my mom is that sometimes we have all these things that are going around our life and we have oppression that's coming at us, or we have difficulty, or we have just, it just seems like there's strife going on. It feels like, man, I don't know, how do I fight back? What do I do? Well, God tells us that fasting and prayer is how we fight back. And I wanna show you what God says about fasting, about prayer, and the weapon that it is for us. So this is Isaiah 58:6, and this is what God says. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. You see, one of the best weapons we have is fasting and prayer. So I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what doors you need to open up in your life. I don't know what's going on, but I know God has given us a weapon that when we fast and we pray, things happen in the spiritual realm. That we see chains broken, we see bonds broken, we see, you know, things untied, we see freedom begin to happen. So this is something that I'm so thankful my mom taught me about. And I'll tell you, every big decision that I make in my life is always preceded with a fast. I always take time to fast and pray before every big decision. And it's something that my mom taught me. So I've talked about my mom, I've talked about my dad. There's one more person I wanna honor today. There's a lot of people that come into your life that impact you. They make a difference in your life. And that person for me is Pastor Alan. You know, Alan talks about John Osteen, who's Joel Osteen's dad, was his pastor. And I would say the pastor in my life, the pastor that I'm gonna call in 30 years, the pastor that's gonna get annoyed with like all these text messages that he's getting is Alan Clayton. Like Alan has become like a spiritual father to me. Alan is someone that I love, I revere. And I wrote my mom a note in Christmas 2009, and I went through that just because we're moving and stuff, and I went through a lot of stuff, and I saw this note, and I printed off a piece I want to read to you that I wrote about Pastor Allen. It says, "I really love this church and our senior pastor. I've always longed to serve under a pastor who could mentor me, sharpen me, and someone I could really grow from just by watching them. And God really answered my prayer. Allen Clayton, our senior pastor, is an amazing man who teaches me things almost on a daily basis. I'm truly blessed to be part of this church and to be under a man of his caliber. We're very excited to be in Houston, Texas." You know it must be God for me to say that. Refer back to the sweating and the fire ants and you'll kind of understand that. But here's what I would learn from our pastor. Our pastor is a shepherd to the core. And you might not realize this because you don't get to be around him as much as I've had the pleasure of being around him. But we have a pastor who loves you, who prays for you, who seeks God on your behalf, who sometimes I'm driving, I forgot something at church, and I come back here at 7:30 at night and I see him up praying. I see a pastor who carries the church and carries you in his heart so much. And I also see a pastor who God and his word is the first place that he's go to. I've never been in a situation where Allen has come in on a Tuesday and said, "Guess what the latest trend is? A, B, and C. And we're gonna do that because that's how we're gonna reach people." He doesn't do that. I've never been on staff and he's come in on a Tuesday and said, "Guess what? I just went to a conference and they're doing A, B, and C and we're gonna do it. We're changing everything." Like, he's never done that. Like, Allen seeks God, he prays, and if it's not in scripture, like, he doesn't do it. And you might think, isn't that what every pastor is supposed to do? I mean, kinda, yeah. But we have a pastor that's willing to deny himself and just obey God, seek God. And I'm so grateful that we have someone that models for us, all of us, what a great shepherd's heart looks like. So I'm so grateful for the opportunity to speak this morning, talk about those three people. I want to close this morning by telling you about the process of us coming here. And some of you might be in a situation where you're praying about, should I go, should I stay, should I jump, what should I do? And here's what happened to us in several years ago. We had the opportunity to come to Conroe. I didn't know one person in Conroe. I didn't have one family member in Conroe. I came from a church of 400 people, and there's at least 4,000 people at that time. I was asked to do a job I had never done in my life. 90% of the job, I had no clue how to even do it. And I'm freaked out right now. Like, I'm petrified. I'm like, what? How am I gonna do this? What's gonna happen? There's all these things rolling around in my head, and I'm up one night and I'm praying. And as I'm praying, I get this thought, Isaiah 54:17. I didn't have a vision. I didn't have God speak to me. I just had a thought. So I keep praying a little bit more and I have that same thought. And I know that's how God speaks to me. Like, just a thought. It's not this like, John. It's nothing like that. I don't see dreams. I don't see vision. Like, but I know when God speaks. So I went over and I grabbed a Bible. And I open it up and it's the Message Bible. And I wanna show you what I read is about midnight, 2008, December. And this is what it says. "This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best." Now I wanna make something like very, very clear. I had all the anxiety, all the fear, all the uncertainty, like that was very present right in that moment. I still had that. I could feel it, it was right there. But for the first time, I had God's word. I had what God's voice said. I had what God, he is the trump card on every situation. And one of the ways that we honor God is we actually obey his word. So some of you have gotten verses from God and you've gotten scriptures about certain things in your life, but you've fallen back to like, well, yeah, but what about this? And what about all these things? And it's scary and it's fearful and there's anxiousness. And all. I will say this, as soon as I got that word, I was still scared. I was still anxious. I was still fearful. But for the first time, I had empowerment to like move forward. And because I moved forward, God blessed us in ways we never even imagined. And so I would look at you today and say, what is the word that God's speaking to you today? It might be this. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. You can trust in God, you can honor him, you can obey him, and you can expect that he will do things in your life greater than anything you could ever imagine. I'd love to pray for you as we close this morning. Would you mind just bowing your head, closing your eyes? Father, I thank you for everybody in this room. I thank you that we can trust you, we can serve you, we can honor you. God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that you leave us stronger, you leave us encouraged. God, with you, there is no condemnation in Christ, but God, you're the one that looks at us and sees a 10 every single time you look at us. Maybe you're here this morning and you've gotten away from God, or you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart before. I'm gonna do something very simple. I just wanna pray with you today. If you've gotten away from him and you need to come back, or maybe you've never made the choice to say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life, it's so easy. All you have to do is say, God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm gonna do something very simple. I just wanna pray with you today. If that's you this morning, you say, hey, I'm praying, I'm in, I'm serving God. Would you mind just raising your hand and say, would you pray for me? I'd love to pray for you. Good, 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 good. Love to pray with you. If that's you, you're saying, I'm gonna serve God today, I'm gonna honor him, good. We're gonna do exactly what we said, good. You can put our hands down. Let's all say this prayer together as one big church family. Let's say, dear God, I know that mankind needs a savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about The Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.